The verses from our gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, included in the calling of a Christian pastor is the responsibility and really the privilege of helping people. We have the privilege of bringing comfort to those who are filled with sorrow at the loss of a loved one. We have the privilege of visiting the sick and bringing them the comfort and the assurance of God's presence with them through their trials. And in general, we strengthen the weak and help people. So a pastor does just that. He visits the sick. He makes calls on the shut-in. He reaches out with help whenever and wherever possible. But most pastors, if not all pastors, will tell you that when they do these things, invariably what happens is that they end up being the one that is helped. Through the witness of that faithful shut-in or that Christian in that hospital bed, as they bear witness to their faith, it is the pastor himself who is built up in his faith. In light of the Word of God before us this morning, perhaps this should not be strange to us. God helps people. Sometimes he helps them by performing miracles, yet far more often, God helps people simply through other people. Now, at the Transfiguration, God helped even Jesus through other people, namely through Moses and Elijah. And so also in your life and in mine, God helps us through people. Sometimes you and I have the privilege of helping someone else. Other times, we have the privilege of being the one who is being helped by someone else. Whatever the case may be, we realize that truly God helps people through people. Today, again, is Transfiguration Sunday. The Transfiguration, it truly is a one-of-a-kind event in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus. Nothing else in all of Scripture is quite like this amazing event. Why did it happen? What purpose did God have behind having this happen? Certainly from the point of view of those three disciples who were with Jesus on that mountaintop, God let them see the transfiguration of Jesus to strengthen them for what lay ahead. The time was getting close when their beloved master would be arrested. He would be tried. He would be beaten, and he would be crucified. And so to enable Peter and James and John to get through that terrible ordeal, God allowed them for a moment to see God in Jesus, to see him in all his glory, in all of his majesty as God himself. And as I said in the greeting, that's why it's good for us to be here as well. This location of Transfiguration at the end of Epiphany as we prepare for Lent. What a wonderful time for us to be built up in our faith and strengthened as we leave this mountaintop experience today and begin that journey that we call Lent. But for a few minutes this morning, let's look at the Transfiguration from Jesus' point of view. What was God wanting to accomplish for Jesus through this event? Now, I believe it's significant to note that the whole incident begins with Jesus praying. It's mentioned twice in the early verses of Luke's account. Praying. Praying about what? My friends, remember Gethsemane, What happened at Gethsemane? Remember that prayer? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He went to his heavenly Father for help and for strength. And no doubt, it was the same thing here. Jesus, as God, knew what lay ahead. And so he was going to his heavenly Father in prayer, asking for his help. And of course, we know that normally, God gives help through other people. But sometimes, other people let us down. And that's kind of the case here with those disciples that were with Jesus. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus had told the disciples, and not for the first time, that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and he would have to die. They told him about his impending death. But the disciples just didn't get it yet. They just weren't ready to hear that about their Savior, that he was going to die. I guess it's kind of like when a person is dying, and they know that they're dying, and they want to talk to their loved ones about that impending death, but the loved ones will have nothing to do with it. No, you're going to be all right. Don't talk about dying. But you see, that loved one is the one that's denying the truth, and because they themselves just can't face the loss of their loved one. So in essence, they really are no help at all to that person in his or her dying hour. But what do we know about God? If one person doesn't help, God often sends someone else. And that's what we see here in this text. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. And what were they talking about? They spoke about his departure, the lesson tells us, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now, to begin with, it's worthy to note who these two men are. What do we know about them? What about Moses? Moses is the one that God used to free his people from their bondage in Egypt. Moses is the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to so that he could then give them to his people. Elijah was another one of those great spokesmen for God in the Old Testament. He often came to the nation of Israel with that word of the law, condemning them because of their disobedience, but also coming them with the healing balm of the gospel, assuring them of God's presence, of God's love, and of God's forgiveness. And we also know that Elijah was that one who never passed through death, but went directly to heaven. Those two, God now sends to talk to Jesus about his departure, meaning his impending death. Now, the specifics of what they're talked about, we're not told. We can only imagine what they said. But can you almost picture Moses there standing with Jesus and talking to him and saying something like, Jesus, you know there was absolutely nothing wrong with your law when you gave it to your people. The problem wasn't the law. The problem was the people and their inability to keep the law perfectly. So Jesus is now up to you to do that for them. And no doubt Elijah also had words of encouragement for Jesus as well. Jesus, we're leaving it up to you now. We're sorry. That means you will have to go to the cross. But we are so glad, we are so thankful that you are willing to do that for us and for all people. And so Jesus, as a man, is strengthened and he is encouraged to go on. So God works through people to help people. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the same thing is true with respect to our salvation. Now, God, being God, all-powerful, can do whatever he wants. And God could have worked out our salvation in some other way without using a person to get it done. I suppose if we think about it, God could have maybe put salvation and forgiveness and put it into the ground and said, okay, for you to be saved, you're going to have to go into the ground and dig it out. But that's not how God works. God works through people. And so to work out our forgiveness for our sins and to save us, God used a person, a flesh and blood human being. And there being no human being on earth capable of accomplishing what needed to be accomplished, God has his own Son come down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, went on that journey all the way to Calvary, and there offered up himself as payment for the sins of the world. And think what that means for us. It means that through Jesus Christ, you and I have been brought into the light of God's grace and mercy and love. It means that through Jesus Christ, all of our sins have been taken away, paid for completely by the shed blood of God's Son. It means that by faith, worked by God's Holy Spirit, that gift from God, by faith in Him, you and I are children of God. You and I are heirs of salvation and of heaven. So what have we seen so far? Thus far we've seen that first God used two specific people, Moses and Elijah, to help and strengthen Jesus. And secondly, God used a specific individual, His own Son, to accomplish salvation for us. What's the next question? What about you and you? What about me? What does this mean for us as God's children and as God's servants living here in this place today? Still today, what happens? God works through people to help people. I mean, think of a little baby. How does God care for a little baby? How does God feed it and clothe it and care for it and get it baptized? Certainly as God, He could have done all of these things for each child through angels. But God chooses to work through people. So He places that little baby into the arms of a mother and a father who love that child and care for it and raise it. When someone gets really sick, I mean so seriously sick that they need major surgery, what does God do? Certainly we've read in the Bible enough miracles of Jesus that He could just miraculously heal that person just like that. Well, what do we know about God? He often works through people to help people. So He brings us into a relationship with a doctor or a surgeon and nurses who take care of us and heal us. Yes, God helps people through people. And the same thing holds true right here in this place, in the church. Why has God brought you together as a family of believers here at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Iowa City? Certainly, we come here regularly as God's people. What do? We confess our common faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come together to grow in that faith through that precious means of grace, word, and sacrament that God has given to us. But is it not also true that God has placed us here in this place that we might help each other and help other people so that we can be those who share the message of the gospel with other people, that we are the ones to bring encouragement to others as they face challenges in their life? We're together here to build each other up in our God-given faith. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote to the Christians at Galatia, when he said, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." That's what we do. That's what we are as the people of God gathered here in this place. Now, certainly a person's faith is personal. It's between you and the Lord. But at the same time, faith in Christ is also a relational matter. Your faith relates you to other people of faith. I mean, what do we call each other? Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we are. It is God's desire for us then, for to have us give help to others or to be helped by others. And to help us along that line, he's given us a wonderful tool, his word, where he gives us direction and guidance on how to be that helper to others. It is, God says to the Apostle Paul, bear each other's burdens. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what he calls us to do as the people of God. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 32, when he says, be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's God's calling to us as his people, helping each other. It's God who says, encourage one another and strengthen each other. That's what we are called to do. Now, of course, it doesn't always work. Peter and James and John weren't the help that they should have been at that critical time in the life of Jesus. And there are times in your life and in mine when we kind of fail to be the helper that God has called us to be. But when that happens, what do? Don't give up. Get on your knees. Turn to the Lord. Place that weakness, that sin, at the foot of the cross and ask God for help. Jesus went to his Father in prayer. We need to do that too. And he will help us every time. God works through people. His encouragement to us today is, let him work through you and through me. Don't block off God's help when it's given to you, or don't fail to give that help to others when they need it. So as we leave this place today, may we go forth with our eyes open, looking for ways in which we can be that helper to others, be God's tool to help other people. God promises to bless us if we are faithful to him and do it to his praise and to his glory. I love this Epiphany season because it begins with light and it ends with light, doesn't it? If you think back to Epiphany Sunday, remember the wise men. We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. And today, we see the brilliance and brightness and light of the glory of God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ, as he is transfigured before his disciples. You and I are privileged to see and to live in that light of Christ each and every day. You know who he is. You know what he has done for you. Now, each day, God calls us to be reflectors of that light out into a world that is lost in the darkness of sin. May we be, as God directs us to be, let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and honor your Father in heaven. May God help us to be those lights in the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.